This edition of Nation Talk is being brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of Nation Talk. The Canadian Council for Aboriginal Business, CCAB, will be hosting a keynote presentation and networking reception in Fort McMurray on November 19th. Ken Coates, Senior Fellow in Aboriginal and Northern Canadian Issues, McDonald Laurier Institute and Canada Research Chair in Regional Innovation, Johnson Shiryoma Graduate School of Public Policy, will be joining them as the keynote speaker. And I'm really pleased to say that we have Mr. Coates on the show with us here today. Ken, welcome to Nation Talk.
Delighted to be with you today.
Now, is there anything unique to Aboriginal business relationships as compared to business relationships generally?
The short answer is yes and no. On the one hand, a business relationship is a business relationship. It works best when both sides get financial advantage out of the partnerships, when you get real collaboration and one company goes into the project and says, we've done a good job here, and another company says, we're getting a good deal out of this as well. So in that regard, an Aboriginal business relationship has to look very much like any other. It has to be financially sound. It has to be based on high quality, reliability, integrity, et cetera, et cetera. The other side of it, though, is that Aboriginal businesses operate in a very different environment. They're coming out of a legal environment, duty to consult and accommodate, Aboriginal rights and respect for traditional lands and treaties and what have you. But also, they're part of a process of sort of relationship building between the private sector and Aboriginal communities. If you look back over the last 100 years, the private sector, really since the days of the fur trade, has not been very well disposed toward Aboriginal people. They haven't supported them typically very well. They ignored Aboriginal interests in many, many parts of the country for many years. The last 20 years, we've seen a real change, and the business sector realizes that they have to collaborate with Aboriginal folks. Aboriginal people have found real partnerships and really good collaborations with all sorts of business organizations across the country. And those relationships are more than business. Basically, you call it yourself a business partner plus. You have to be like every other business. The relationship has to be like any other business. But, of course, you have much more at stake. And what you have at stake is the long-term relationship between a community and that particular private sector organization.
Wow. Do relationships have a role in generating business opportunities?
Well, that's one of the interesting things about Aboriginal business, is that you've got a situation where, because, again, of some legal changes and what have you, where the power of Aboriginal folks is dramatically different than it was a few years ago. And duty to consult and accommodate is a good example, but it's only one, where businesses have realized that a partnership with Aboriginal people can have many, many long-term benefits. An Aboriginal organization, an Aboriginal business operation is more than just a regular company. They typically have strong relationships with their band council. They have strong relationships with their economic development organization. And we're finding an awful lot of businesses that completely contrast to what their expectations were 20 years ago are finding that First Nations and Aboriginal communities generally make really good partnerships. We've got some of the best advocates for Aboriginal business are actually coming from the non-Aboriginal private sector. And they're realizing that they're getting involved in building multi-generational partnerships, collaborations that aren't designed for the short term, but designed for the long term. And I think it's fair to say that a number of Canadian companies are learning a lot from Aboriginal business.
Well, you know, it makes you wonder, you know, like the branding of Aboriginal business unto itself. I mean, everything Aboriginal was painted with a very, very negative brush for so, so long. Where do you think this situation will be like in 20 years from now?
Well, it's really interesting. In 20 years from now, Aboriginal businesses and economic development organizations are actually going to be among the largest and most effective companies in Canada. Now, we got to get our head around that, what that means. We now have over 250 economic development organizations in the country. Some of them have assets in the hundreds of millions, if not the billions of dollars. They are driving investment in their own communities and their own regions. They're branching out from what we call traditional Aboriginal business, which is being a supply company for the mining sector or for the forest industry or whatever else. They're buying up real estate in Calgary and Vancouver and in Saskatoon and Regina. They're developing residential subdivisions and recreational properties. They're buying service companies and retail operations. And that any standard perception we have of Aboriginal business is just being blown out of the window. Aboriginal people are more likely to become entrepreneurs than non-Aboriginal people. They are more likely to start up new businesses. They're finding very good partnerships. Very often they have a sort of a core collaborator. So it might be Cameco, it might be Suncor, it might be Valet. But these are companies that are their sort of their core business. And they can then use that, leverage that up to sort of expand and develop in other areas. So they have stability with a major partner and they're able to then go into sort of somewhat more developmental ventures elsewhere. So what I actually see happening is a situation where the country gets incredibly comfortable with the fact that Aboriginal businesses are successful, that they're expanding and they're very active, and that they are demonstrating to us the value of a business operation that puts its own community first, as opposed to necessarily individual profit. So the Aboriginal businesses are actually reteaching the business sector how to operate on a community basis and how to actually deliver socially responsible outcomes to the community itself. So I love to look 20 years down the line, because if I look 20 years back, I get dismayed. I can't think, you know, 20, 25, 30 years ago, Aboriginal people were so marginalized in the business sector. Now you come forward into 2015 and say, okay, we understand that Aboriginal people are present, and they're, you go to Fort McMurray, there's hundreds of millions of dollars that the oil sands companies are spending with First Nations on an annual basis. So we're now comfortable with the idea that Aboriginal businesses are important players in the economy. I look 20 years forward, and I think you're going to be looking and saying that Aboriginal businesses have taught the Canadian private sector how to put a higher priority on community development, and are actually reinvesting in the community in a way that the regular Canadian business community stopped doing a while back.
That is extraordinary. You know, I wish every person in the country could hear you say what you just said, because, you know, the future, there's optimism there. You can see it. And like 20 years from now, my God, when you think about successful business, 20 years from now, I mean, successful business can equate also into successful politics.
I think the success in business is going to flow over into absolutely everything. Because successful Aboriginal business is already convincing young people to change their focus. You know, 20 years ago, when I was first getting involved in universities, if an Aboriginal young youth came forward and said they wanted to work in engineering, it meant that they were planning their entire life on working for non-Aboriginal people. They just assumed that if they were going to go work for a big engineering company, a resource company, they'd be working for non-Aboriginal people. That same young person now, 2015, can start a degree in engineering and say, either I'm going to set up my own business like my friend down the street, or I'm going to actually go and work for an Aboriginal company. And it's changed the perspective completely of how young people view the sort of their own economic future, their own career possibilities, and what have you. We're now developing an entire cohort of young Aboriginal leaders. They're business leaders, but they're also community leaders who are getting used to managing hundreds of millions of dollars in portfolio investments, who are sitting there watching new residential developments grow up and watching them putting a new sign on a high rise because they've taken over control of a building. This is really exciting stuff, because it offsets all the negative stereotypes and the often harsh realities of Aboriginal communities. And young people are looking around to be able to say, there is an alternative, and there it is. The other part is, this is independent from government. The Aboriginal business environment is not one that relies on the next government grant. It isn't one that requires you to fill out a form and apply to Ottawa for more funding. It is a completely different mindset where you basically get to eat what you kill. You know, if you're successful in business, whether it's a residential subdivision or whether it's a retail store or a gas station, you take that profit as a First Nation community or person and you invest it as you see fit. So I think one of the challenges of the 21st century, and this is kind of an interesting one, is the challenge of managing prosperity. How do communities that for the last 100 years have been dealt with colonialism and oppression and government control and over-management and being administered by Indian agents, how do communities deal with the fact of prosperity when they have their own money that they can invest their own ways, that they can use to develop their own kind of businesses?
Wow. You know what? Oh, this is there's excitement there, you know. Optimism, excitement. And if our listeners are interested in hearing more, seeing more, on November the 19th at the Sawridge Inn and Conference Center in Fort McMurray, Mr. Ken Coates is giving the keynote presentation. And we all look forward to that. Ken, I want to say thank you so much, Chinagwich, to you for sharing these very, very enlightening words with us here today on Nation Talk.
This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.